The Ben Coley Podcast.
It's been a while, hasn't it? This is a brand new episode of the Ben Coley Podcast. It's my podcast where I review brand new artists, brand new bands that I'm really loving at the moment. And all of them are unsigned, all of them are under the radar, but there's so much great music out there. It's been a while, hasn't it? I have been starting a new job. I'm out in Cyprus at the moment as a presenter for BFPS The Forces Station. And just because of starting up a new job and living abroad and getting used to all of that, it's certainly been a while since I brought out a podcast, but I finally got around to it. It's kind of the run-up to Christmas, and I thought, you know what? It's about time I take stock, take a look at what's been happening in 2020, because believe it or not, even though it's not been a great year for live music, so many bands and artists have seen 2020 as a real opportunity to just knuckle down and get busy writing and get working on their studio sound. And if this is your first time listening to my podcast, welcome, firstly. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen, but also, this is essentially a quick pit stop in music. It's a snapshot of what some under-the-radar artists are getting up to at the moment, with a really good opportunity for you to collect some new sounds and add some new tunes to your library from artists that could really do with that little bit of extra exposure. So if you've got any suggestions or questions for future episodes, or if you're an artist yourself and you want to send me some of your stuff, please hit me up at my email, which is thebencoleypodcast@gmail.com. In terms of copyright, all of the unsigned artists have been contacted and they've all informed me that they're the sole copyright holders of their music, so I've been given full permission to use their songs. So thank you for that, guys. There's also links in the description, so if you like an artist that you listen to, I've included the link. You can go and show them some love online, drop them a like, maybe go and buy some of their music. Also, please leave a review and a rating, and also please download and share. That'd be great. All the usual stuff, really. Just quickly before I start, my sponsors for this episode are the great people over at Indie Central Music. So you can be at the forefront of discovering new music with IndieCentralMusic.com. You'll be able to get some of the hottest indie and alternative talent around through some amazing interviews that they do. They really do some great, insightful interviews. They also do feature-length interviews, some kind of longer, more drawn-out ones where they'll sort of dive into the nitty-gritty of the music. And they also do specially curated Spotify playlists. So if you want to go and check out Indie Central Music, great group of guys, real small team that are really dedicated to unsigned indie music, then go and follow them on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter just by searching Indie Central Music. Okay, so I've got three new artists that I've never featured on my podcast before. And I should add as well, they're three totally different artists. I'd like to think that there's something for everyone here. And the first band that I'm going to get into are a three-piece called Polary. And Polary were on the same gig circuit as my band around the sort of Worcestershire, Gloucestershire area quite a few years ago. And it's really nice to see that Polary are still going strong and that they're continuing to develop their sound and write amazing songs, and they're just building up a real steady but secure following, and it's really nice to see. So Polary are an alternative trio from Cheltenham. I actually went to go and see Polary in Cheltenham. I went to their gig at a venue called Two Pigs, and obviously with everything going on in 2020 and with venues facing potential closures, especially independent venues like Two Pigs, I really hope Two Pigs is still open, because it was a great gig, it was a great night, and Polary were amazing live. They play to a backing track, they've got all these kind of synths going. You'll find the drummer Toby, he's plugged into a click track, and they are so tight to that click track, and it's that live music infused with that backdrop of kind of synth that they've got going on, and they were so good to watch, and they've got a great presence and a great dynamic live as well, and it was a real packed out gig, like people really love them. So I would say that Polary are writing songs that beautifully blur heavy guitars, but then there's also a lot of 80s glistening synths in there, but some amazing pop hooks as well. So you've got all of that thrown into the mix, being mixed together perfectly, and it's making music that I think sits head and shoulders above other alt bands that I've heard, especially when it comes to the production as well, which we'll get onto in a little bit. These guys are in their early 20s, and I think that their music has so much emotional resonance to it, and it's got so much thought that goes into it, that really they're kind of more or less performing and playing and writing like a band that have been in the game for years and years, never mind just for a few years. So Polary have steadily increased their following, and they've been doing that through gigging. And they've been gigging loads, and they've actually done some pretty sick gigs. They opened up the new music stage at 2000 Trees Festival, which is a massive gig. And they've also done performances alongside people like The Fame, Circa Waves and Yonica. Yonica are an amazing band from Brighton, so go and check them out. And 2020 has been a difficult year for artists, obviously. Not least because artists can't make as much money on live gigs and merch, but also live bands can't get out there. Their exposure's gone right down because you can't go out and gig. And we're living, unfortunately, in a reality now where independent venues in 2020, heading into 2021, are really struggling. They're potentially facing closure. That's a very real risk, a very real threat right now. But Polary have been super busy this year. They've been quiet, but don't mistake that for them not being proactive and productive. They've actually been using 2020 as a time to just get their heads down on get writing, to be honest. They've really got stuck into their studio work, and they've also dropped some new merch as well, some Ace new merch back in May. So I'm going to be chatting to you about a new single of theirs called Nothing in Common. This is really good. This is really good. It's just been given its first ever play on BBC Introducing in the West. And I'm really happy that these guys have given me a chance to chat about their latest single. So thank you so much. Harry Ponting is the frontman from the band, and you'll be joining him now. He's going to be chatting a little bit more about the song. And it's really cool to hear him and Toby getting more stuck into the production. They've had a real kind of first-hand role in crafting the sound of what you hear.
Hey Ben, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's felt like an eternity since I started writing this single back in April, but we're finally here, so it's a good feeling. It took such a different path to how it usually would. I was very sort of keen on the idea of getting way more involved in production, and Toby was too. And lyrically, I wanted to write something really, really different from stuff that I've done before. So I guess that the lyrical content of this single is based around just the feelings of like being young and in love and just going about it in such like a reckless and careless way, because at 16, 17 years old, you don't really care about what you're doing. And then production wise, I mean, I started, a couple of weeks into April, I started demoing some stuff on my laptop, which sort of resembled a very rough version of this single, and quickly I sent it over to Toby to work on, who he's a lot better than me, and he made it sound like a song. Soon after that we managed to book a session up at a place called Circle Studios in Birmingham when lockdown sort of eased a bit, and then immediately after we came back to my house and locked ourselves in a room for a week and finished off the single. But we were very sort of keen that we wanted to get a second pair of ears on it. So for ages we were toying around with who we wanted to mix it, and obviously budget isn't unlimited. So we were speaking to a guy out in LA, and then we spoke to a couple of guys over here. And I think it was Toby that was just like, why don't we get James Bragg to mix it? And James has produced and mixed and mastered all of our other tunes before. So I have no idea why we didn't think to send it to him initially. So obviously we sent it to him straight away, and he got it back to us pretty quickly, and it sounded perfect. Like it couldn't have gone any better. We're so, so happy with this single. It's let us explore sort of songwriting and production in a completely different way. Thanks again, Ben, for having us on the podcast. This is our brand new single, Nothing in Common.
It feels so hot to the touch. Cold is your heart. Yeah, that's fine. I just want to know if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. Never mind. I know we've got nothing in common.
already you've got a good flavour for what these guys are about, right? So it starts straight away with that pulsing 80s synth. Reminds me quite a bit of If You're Too Shy Then Let Me Know, that 1975 song. It's got it's kind of deep resonant synth. And also it's got that hook straight away, Apart From Nothing, which already just gets so stuck in your head. That hook alone, never mind everything else that follows, that's such a little earworm that just creeps under your skin. I love the clarity of Harry's guitars in this as well. The guitars don't have too much low end, they're quite midi and quite a lot of treble on them, but they've got this beautiful reverb on there. It just kind of cuts and washes in and out of the mix really nicely. The drums sound absolutely massive as well. Props to Harry. I'm sure Harry had a huge role in producing that drum sound. It sounds really great, and it's perfect for the song as well. They're not overproduced drums, but they still sound really, really punchy. And there's some really nice fills, which you're going to hear exactly like this, actually. Heading into the chorus. Sounds amazing. The chorus is ridiculous on this thing. It is ridiculous. It's got this real carefree attitude to it, which you hear in the lyrics. I know we've got nothing in common apart from nothing else to do. I mean, that alone, right? How relatable are those lyrics? The amount of times we've all been in a sort of similar situation to that. And Harry's voice sounds amazing. He's got such a great voice that sits really nicely in the mix. It's kind of right at the forefront of the mix. It's impossible to ignore. It doesn't get washed out by the huge sounds going on behind him. And he's got complete confidence and command over his voice, I'd say. And there's some really subtle backing vocals in the verses, which just give it a little bit of a lift as well. So definitely listen out for that. So here's the second verse heading into the chorus. And you're going to really start to see pretty quickly now that Polary are really clever and subtle at just layering their music and just adding something in here and there. Just bringing it in, taking it out, that just starts to lift the song and takes it kind of on like a journey, really. I hate that word, journey, but there we go. Just listen out for some of the tasteful vocal arrangements after Harry sings, It's Better Alone, You Decline. Better alone, you decline. Also, there's this chiming synth part that literally follows the main melody in the verse, but it's really kind of quite subtle. It's back in the mix a little bit, so make sure you pay attention and listen out for that. You say something to make you sound cool. No, I don't care, that's a lie. I say that we should get up and go. It's better alone, you decline. So where do we go from here? Heart, yes, head, no, make it clear. But I'd like to see it through. If you were to, I know we've got nothing in common. This is where Polary right now show that they can pack a huge sonic punch as well as obviously writing a song that sounds good. And you're about to hear this huge wall of guitars. This is the first time in the track really where the guitars open up and it's just this beautiful tone that you're going to hear. And I love all the vocal warps and effects that whir away all over this. Such a tune, isn't it? I've had it on repeat as well. So I'm the sort of person, right, when I find a song or stumble across a song that I like, I just have to play it 20 times in a row to really kind of listen out for different things each time. And that's exactly what you're going to get with Nothing in Common. You're going to listen to it once, twice, three, four, five times, and it's gonna just present new things each and every time, and that's what I really like about it. I've had it on repeat, seriously. There's so many little surprises in there that you can just get stuck into. And the guitars as well, this is my kind of final thought on this. The guitars are so regimented. They're really rhythmically quite precise, and they actually follow rhythmically what the lyrics and what Harry's vocals are doing a lot of the time. So if anything, it just kind of reinforces all of the hooks that you hear on this song and just hammers it home even further, just gets it stuck in your head. Guys, seriously, I'm loving this track. It's brand new. Go and check it out. They've got new merch out as well. Go and follow the link in the description. Check out Polary. They're way more than the sum of their parts. I mean, we're listening to a three-piece, but you'd think you're listening to a five or a six-piece. Fair play, guys. Okay, here's a band that, I'll be dead honest, have got me so excited for the future of new music. Not because Pangolin are writing songs that are going to shoot to the top of the charts. Not that they'd even want to be. They're very much marching to the beat of their own drum. They're on their own sort of journey altogether. But I'm really impressed with them, and I can honestly see them packing out concert halls in the future, because you just want to go and see them for their musicianship alone, never mind the songs that they actually bring to the table. So Pangolin are a seven-piece contemporary funk, jazz and hip-hop group from Oxford. That's a massive mouthful, and that sounds like a bit of a kind of, what did you just say? What genre are they? What did you just say? You got to bear with me on this. Let's just say, for argument's sake, they fall under the umbrella of jazz. That's the only way you can even attempt to pigeonhole these guys. So you've got Jemima Taylor on vocals, Femi Nylander on rap and vocals, you've got Jacob Rainbow on keys, Rob Dimbleby on keys, Tanzil Rahman on saxes and flute, Harry Brokenshire on bass and synth, and Dan Mort on drums and loops and all the rest of it. So there's a lot going on here. There's a lot to unpack, so you're going to have to bear with me. I'll try and get into it. So the band members all started off by studying classical music, and that's the sort of context you really need before tackling the beast that is Pangolin, because that underpins everything that they do. Their classical upbringing is the bedrock from which they create all of their music, and their music is so sophisticated, they've got so much dexterity on all of their instruments, that it has to be the case that these people have strong music theory, because it wouldn't be pulled off in the same way if it was just people that were self-taught and were just kind of, you know, throwing it all up against the wall and seeing what sticks. So this classical background brings with it a kaleidoscope and a patchwork of so many different genres and so many different sounds that they mix together so well. In fact, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Radiohead, and I love that, because you're listening to funk bleeding into modern jazz, bleeding into hip-hop, and then back round to funk again, but it is all done so seamlessly. They just traverse this line with so much ease. So it doesn't surprise me that people like Jay Dilla and Radiohead are some of their massive influences, because those artists alone, let's just take Jay Dilla for instance, he's notorious for mixing unlikely sounds together to make magic, to make amazing music. So the track that you're going to hear today is called I Am the Pangolin, which is the first single to be taken from their latest album called, forgive me if I pronounce this wrong guys, Haraith. H-A-R-A-E-T-H, Haraith, I think. Sounds like the name of a metal album, doesn't it? Like, Haraith. It dropped back in May. It's really good. Really good project. Go and listen to it. And you're going to hear now a 7-minute opus. I'm going to play you the full thing. I'll obviously interject and interrupt a little bit here and there, but you're going to hear 7 minutes of just chaos. Organised chaos, though. Don't worry. So this is the guys from Pangolin chatting about their song.
Hi, Ben. It's Dan and Rob from Pangolin here. Thanks so much for asking us to share a few thoughts about our tune, I Am the Pangolin. It's the closing tune on our new record, Haraith. And I think probably one of the ones we had the most fun making.
Right? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's kind of an amalgamation of a lot of different... What started off as a lot of different songs that we kind of mashed together. And I think because it was one of the songs that came together towards the end of the writing process, it kind of felt like a big sort of explosion of ideas and crazy synth sounds and lyrical themes and stuff.
It started life as that initial bass riff.
Yeah, that one.
So we had that, and we weren't really sure what to do with it. And we also had this other melody as well.
Oh, yeah.
That we kind of worked on. And... like, well, can we get some singing there? Like, where would that fit in the song? That's quite melodic, and the initial bass line is not very melodic at all. It's just quite is quite nasty. And then he figured out it would actually work quite nicely to have the sax playing it with the piano, and that combination of sounds that we felt really worked. And then the chorus just basically was made by us like just jamming out a few random, pretty non-functional harmonic chords.
Yeah, so you thought of the melody, didn't you?
Yeah. It's almost inspiring.
And I remember, because it's all like pentatonic stuff, so yeah. It's a reasonably catchy melody, or hopefully. And then we kind of sat down and thought, let's just, crunch this up. So we just kind of thought about what chords could go well with it.
And then thematically, Femi initially suggested writing it about a pangolin, and we were all like, nah, that sucks. Like, why would we want to do that? It's so lame. Like, record pangolin, we can't have a song about pangolins. It's too obvious.
I can imagine if Arctic Monkeys wrote a song about Arctic Monkeys.
That'd be disappointing.
Maybe that'd be good.
We love the Arctic Monkeys, just as a disappointment. But then he came back with these lyrics that are actually really dope, and we really like them. And this service is like this really tongue-in-cheek close to what has been a slightly more sensitive, both thematically and musically, records. And I think because of that, we felt pretty free license in the post-production just to slap on quite a lot of stuff we wouldn't have otherwise normally done, like synths, arpeggiators, samples of pangolins rolling in pools of mud.
Yeah, if you listen to the start of the synths solo, you'll hear a little kind of pangolin rolling around in some mud having a great time. And we sampled some of Femi's previous lyrics and kind of echoed them on that. To kind of build up to like the climax of the synth solo. So we had a lot of fun with the post-production.
Yeah, there's a lot of falling of chairs and laughing.
Yeah.
In my lounge with that.
Yeah.
And we hope you have as much fun listening to it as we did making it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
Cheers.
Mr. Pangolin, when I walk in the joint, it's pandemonium. All four legs in tandem, and the trunk I used to eat ants when I'm grabbing lonely and solitary. You think a couple treaties changes the fact I'm an endangered species. Monetary incentives got 'em hunting me, hot on my tail, got me feeling like it's Tom and Jerry. But anyway, that's another story. I'm about to curl up in a ball, see keratin scales on my back protecting my organs, a row of fingernails on a twirl.
So it starts with this real syncopated piano jazz chord, accented by drums and bass, and there's a bit of synth in the mix as well. And then it breaks into this amazing tight-knit groove on the bass. The bass is dirty, the tone is amazing. And in a second, you're going to hear the guys from the band chatting about this bass line, which is where the whole song started from. This was the seed, really, where everything else grew from. And I can see why they had troubles with writing the song at first, because the bass line is so interesting. It doesn't necessarily lend itself to a particular chord progression as such. It's just kind of this, I don't know, dirty loop that just keeps going round and round. But anyway, they bring into it this flourishing piano, these stammering horns, and I love the beat that goes along with it as well. It's a proper roomy sounding kit sound that they've got. And also check out Femi's verse at the start of this. Femi, as I mentioned a minute ago, he raps over all of pangolin stuff, and I love his style. This man, he's got like a nonchalant and relaxed style of delivery. Genuinely, when I first listened to it, it reminded me of the great Maxi Jazz from Faithless. It really did. He's got that real aura, that presence about his voice. And this is where Jemima comes in with this beautiful melody. Pangolin, stay, stay, stay. And the way she sings it, it's got this real searching nature about it. It sounds quite ethereal, the way it just hovers and glides over the mix. And it marks quite a beautiful change in the landscape of the song quite early on as well. It's such a dynamic shift from the rap that you hear towards the start from Femi's verse, and then the complex rhythmical nature of all of these sections and how all of these individuals lock in together starts to just kind of unfurl a little bit as the song goes on. And it's almost just like one, I mean, you know, I'm going to use the metaphor of an animal, I suppose, and they are called pangolin, but it is just like this one giant organism of seven people moving together in perfect autonomy and timing. It's incredible. It's the sort of musicianship, actually, that you'd come to expect from a similar band like Snarky Puppy, just the way all of these complex rhythms and melodies just all lock in together. They've given it so much thought. And I love the way that the drums double up on the rhythm towards the end of Jemima's refrain. Sounds great, doesn't it? Pangolin, stay, stay, stay. Pangolin, what's your story? Pangolin, no, no, no. Pangolin, don't you feed me? Pangolin, go, go, go. Pangolin, try escape me. Pangolin, no, no, no. Can you see pangolin running away from a king? Can you see how we kill for luxury, food to fill our mouths? Humanity carelessly thrown away, rarity. Can you see pangolin running away from our sin? Run, run away, not safe for you to stay. Run, pangolin, from our sin.
They really started stressing, and I start thinking maybe this could be the death of me. Another line of defense, I think I'll spray some skunk spray. Give a predator pink eye. My name means one who rolls up, but my numbers are dwindling. Starting to think I'm in Asia and Africa going extinct. I'm trafficked to China, become medicine. I can't heal shit, it's just superstition. Leave my scales on my back and my meat in my skin. I, Mr. Pangolin. When I walk in the joint, it's pandemonium. For my magic, I'm bought and I'm sold. And that's why I'm the number one most trafficked animal on the globe.
Food to fill our mouths. Humanity carelessly throws away rarity without a second thought. Can you see pangolin running away from a sin? Run, run away, not safe for you to stay. Run.
Okay, you're about to hear this delicate little bouncy synth solo now, which sounds so good. I mean, it's got this beautiful effect on it. It's almost like two effects sandwiched together, fused together really kind of subtly. You've got this like wah-wah meets oscillator sort of sound, which I absolutely love. And listen out for this little chromatic descending step here. You're going to hear that in the solo, and that's the sort of thing I love. Again, that's the sort of thing that you can just tell they've got so much control and so much command over their instruments. And it almost sounds like you've got a monitor in front of you and it's picking up some weird kind of cosmic interference from space or something.
Thank you. running away from a tin. Can you see how we kill for luxury? Food to fill our mouths. Humanity, humanity, can you see pangolin running away from a sin? Run, run away, not safe for you to stay around pangolin.
The ending's quite fitting as well, right? Like, it kind of starts to descend into chaos, but then ends with that refrain at the end. I just love the way how Dan on the drums goes crazier and crazier, and then at the end you've got these horn sections that kind of descend into like a dissonant chaos or something. I'm so impressed with this track. I think for any artist to have your attention for 3 minutes, they've done well, they've won you over. But for an artist to literally have your attention for the best part of 7 minutes, 7 minutes plus, is insane. And I was literally hanging on every single beat, I was hanging on every last bar, I just wanted to see what came up next. And just when I thought I got a grip of the song and where it was going, it would just take a totally different left turn and they'd throw a curveball in. And that's just how amazing these guys are as musicians. So if you can appreciate this as a hardcore musician, that's great. But I think also they make this music very accessible, Pangolin. So I think you'd be able to appreciate this as just someone that listens to any genre of music. I think you can appreciate the song for what it is as well. So thanks so much, Pangolin. And they've got brand new vinyls out for their latest album, Hiraeth. Don't know if I've pronounced that right. You know what I mean, though. Go and grab a latest copy of that if you're liking it. Go and show them some love online. Links in the description. Okay, last artist today is Luke Royalty, which is a good name, isn't it? I think you'll remember that name, Luke Royalty. He's Manchester-born, Liverpool-based, and he's a singer-songwriter. And yeah, he's insane, and he's so young. He's 21, and already, or he might be 22 now, I don't know, but either way, early 20s, but he seems a million miles away from just crafting demos in his bedroom, which is how he started out. He's now working in studios with up-and-coming producers in Liverpool like Bob McKenzie. So he's been recording and releasing more singles this year. He's kind of released a steady string of singles, really, and I'm sure that's going to be heading into 2021 as well, and hopefully when venues open up, you'll be able to go and see Luke up north somewhere. And he's been featured on loads of different stations. He's been featured on Amazing Radio, BBC Introducing Northeast, BBC Introducing Radio Tees. He's got loads of coverage, which is really cool. And he's got a new song out now as well called I Could Get Used to This, featuring Sweets. But I want to talk about a track that got me into Luke Royalty. It's called October 7. It's not his most recent song. It was still released this year, but it's just the track that I think hammers home what Luke's all about. So you're going to hear October 7 now. I'm just going to let Luke quickly tell you a little bit about it.
All right, Ben, mate. How's it going? Luke here. This next song you're about to play is my new single, October 7. It's a nice chilled one that I wrote quite a while ago, and it's about breakups. Try not to cry when you're listening to it, yeah? Enjoy!
Right, so it's a breakup song, and this track really does carry with it that emotional weight, and I think Luke really wears that on his sleeve in this song. It starts with this beautiful, amazing-sounding falsetto vocal at the start with a nice little scratchy guitar lead that comes in, and it cuts to the chase right away, really. Luke's got pretty captivating vocals. He's got quite a deep, rich voice entering straight away into the mix, and Luke hasn't got a massive range, I don't think. It's not like he's doing these huge vocal sweeps or anything, but the range that he sits so comfortably in. You could listen to him sing all day, really, because he's just got so much command over his voice. I love the bouncing bass on this as well. It's a proper R&B style bass line, which I've got a lot of time for. It's a little bit more stripped back as well, which is why I like it.
My body's getting colder.
already, you're probably getting the impression that Luke, at the core of what he does, creates R&B music with soulful qualities to it, but I love the way how Luke puts a slight spin on it and tweaks the recipe a little bit so that it's almost kind of presented through this indie rock lens a little bit. And here's a little bit of breathing space now that you get just before the chorus after the verse. And I love how the guitar lead that you hear is bending and whirring. It almost sounds quite searching, actually. And you've got this echo on the snare that adds so much ambience to everything. I love those layered vocals between Luke and the backing singer. Creates this kind of beautifully rich vocal arrangement, and it gives, again, just the track this subtle lift that it needs just heading into that chorus. Some of those jazz chords at the end. I don't know what jazz chords you're playing, Luke. I don't know if there's some minor sevenths in that. I don't know what's going on, but it just sounds, it sounds amazing. So much finesse, and it's got such a serenity about it. Gives the track that proper exotic flavour, actually. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the sort of chords that Daniel Caesar would add into one of his tracks. So in total, in a nutshell, I think that Luke's writing really compelling neo-soul music that also has this emotional punch as well. And I think that it's quite appealing to anyone. I think if you're a fan of any genre, Luke is someone that invites you into his world quite freely. You don't have to do too much hard work to really get into what Luke's all about. So thank you so much, Luke Royalty, for letting me use one of your tracks. And for all of these tracks, for all of these artists, go and check out the link in the description. And that's it. Thank you for listening to episode 18. I'll be back again pretty soon with some more new artists. Hopefully I'll get an interview in there as well.